Hey, it's Andy Cohen here with this week's chapter of Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. The high highs and low lows of my life as a daddy to two kids and dozens of housewives. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, John Hill. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up?
Well, John, we had a great week. There was a lot of TV news. We talked Real Housewives of Potomac reunion and the Traitors reunion. I had a moral crisis about whether to schlep a Build-A-Bear to Los Angeles. I had a standoff with a basketball hoop and kind of let you in on one of my vulnerabilities as a child and an adult. We talked about positive reinforcements for kids and living in the era of the takedown piece, courtesy of Rolling Stone. On Thursday, we had our 90s show, and I looked a fool. This is Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. Monday, March 4th, 2024. I have a spring in my step today. I got to tell you, last week was an intense work week. I shot a lot. We had two reunions last week. I think we were on tape with that shit show of a show last Wednesday where there was like a fire drill. I was on Zoom. We had every technical difficulty. And what was happening that day for me in life was that we shot the Housewives of Potomac reunion that day. We've shot a bunch of reunions lately on 26th Street where in Rachel Ray's old studio. It's a big studio. No, her house burned down.
That was her house.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's the studio next door to Sherry Shepherd's studio, which was Wendy Williams' studio. And the vice president was meant to be a guest on Sherry Shepherd the day we were shooting the reunion. So all of our pickups were very early. The women, I think, got there at like 5 a.m. because they have several hours of makeup. And for some reason, it was like we had to be on the stage by 9:30 to start, which wound up being a good thing because we went until I think 8:30 at night. So thank God we started that early because we would have been out of there at like 11. So I really wanted to kiss my kids goodnight. By the end of the reunion, I had no voice. You will hear I'm like losing my voice, but we all were there. And when I got to the reunion, there were people from the Sherry show, which was taping with the vice president, I think at 2 p.m. The audience was already on the street at like 8:05 a.m. Now, what I found out during our lunch break is that the VP canceled.
Yes, now, last minute.
Because of weather, can you imagine being in that audience standing on the street? And then you're like, what? Now I get to see Sherry do stand up. And by the way, I love Sherry Shepherd.
That's like, what I would rather see.
I love Sherry Shepherd. That's not shade. I'm just saying, anyway. So I got home from that. The directive at that reunion was we wanted the women. I think one of the flaws of this season, or the flaw of this season, is that there are women who aren't able to find any common ground with some of the other women. So there are all these pockets of women that just won't even acknowledge each other, which is not a recipe for, one of the hallmarks of the Housewives is finding a way to move forward.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the directive of the Potomac reunion. And you will see how that went down, when you see it in a few weeks. I got home that night and Ben was so excited to see me. He had gone to Build-A-Bear that day with his nanny and he made me a bear as kind of like a little pick me up, I guess. And he had recorded, I guess with the bears at Build-A-Bear, you can record something. So he's like, daddy, press the arm or press the hand. So I press the hand and he says, it's Ben's voice. And by the way, this bear that he made me is like a gender neutral rainbow they Yoda, basically. It's like Yoda as a they. I don't know what it is, but it's so cute. And you press the hand and it says, daddy, daddy, I love you. I love you. Hug me, hug me. Now he played it for me like 30 times when I got home. I was like, oh my God, this is now a little haunting. So fine. So the next morning I wake up and I'm getting him ready and he's going to school and I'm taking him to school. And then I have to go to Los Angeles for the Traders reunion. And he's mad at me about something very inconsequential. And his thing that he's been doing, and I think it's because I sometimes take toys away from him when he needs a consequence. He now, if he's mad at me, and I listen, with kids, it's all about asserting control. He takes things from me that he made me. He'll say, I'm going to take X from you that I made you. And I'm like, okay. And so he took the bear that he made me. And he had said, it's a lovey for you to take to California and you can think of me with your lovey. And I was like, oh my God, that is so nice. And then of course I was thinking, oh my God, am I schlepping this lovey to California? And then, so he took it from me that morning and I said, but I was going to take it to California. And he said, well, you can't now. And I said, okay, well, that's a little punishing. And then I'm like, all right, a little more room in my backpack. So I'm taking him to school that morning and we went downstairs and the car was waiting for me in front of the apartment. So I put my luggage in the car and then I was taking Ben to school and I was going to go straight in the car to the airport. And then we're walking to school and Ben goes, what about your lovey? He goes, you're taking it, aren't you? I said, well, you took it away from me. And he goes, no, you have to take it. You have to take it. Like, please, I made it for you. He's very upset. So I said, okay, I'm going to take it. And then I'm thinking, should I just go get the lovey, put it in a bag, leave it with the doorman, and then when I get home, pick it up and walk in with the lovey and be like, the lovey made it to California. Now, what would you have told me to do that, Jordan?
I'm trying to think about what I would, because that was my immediate thought, was just to just hide it and say that you brought it. But then my kid would also kind of want proof of life while he's away and wanted to see what the bear was up to.
So I have a child psychologist who I speak to occasionally who helps guide me. Okay. And she's been an incredible resource. And one thing that she has told me from the beginning is don't lie to your kids. Never lie to your kids. Just tell them the truth. And I was like, you know what? I got to bring this thing. I put it in a freaking Gristiti's bag. All I had was a backpack. I brought it with me. I got to L.A. I land. I'm in the car on the way to John Hill's place to see his new apartment. And I text a picture of me with the bear in the back of the car. And Ben's nanny was like, I've never seen him happier than he is right now. He is so happy that you brought that. And I sent him a picture of the bear on my balcony with the Los Angeles skyline behind him. John Mayer and the bear, you know, like every, so I'm really glad that I brought the bear on the airplane home. So anyway, now I want to talk about the Traitors reunion. At the reunion taping, we began the reunion with all of the faithfuls out there, okay? And the Traitors that were no longer in the show, okay?
And so people who hadn't seen the end.
None of them had seen the finale. So they had all seen the first, I think, 45 minutes of the finale. We sat there together and watched, showed them the last 20 minutes so they could all see how it all played out and get their immediate reactions to that, which is really exciting. So you will see that. You will see that at the beginning of you will see that at the beginning of the reunion. Get their live live response to that. As you probably have read, the show has been picked up for season three. It was so fun being at the reunion because, first of all, I had just come off the Potomac reunion, which was incredibly dramatic and very tense. And so this was dramatic, but you're talking about a game, you know, so it wasn't, no blood was drawn, but it was really fun. Now, when I walked in and came in to sit down, it's my normal reunion setting, which is me in the middle and two couches on either side and chairs behind the couches. I think that some of these folks, because these are reality champions, they've seen a reunion once before, and I think some of them thought, oh my God, what am I in for? Now, of course, the housewives that were there were all easy breezy, taking their photos in advance, just doing their things. I went up to Dan. He looked at me. He looked like he had seen a ghost. And I'm telling you, I think he was shaking a little bit, and he goes, Andy, like, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing that this is a reunion. He's like, this is... I said, Dan, it is going to be okay. Now, you will see whether it was okay for Dan, because this was the first time Dan and Phaedra confronted each other since the show. So you will see how that goes down. But I was like, it's going to be okay, man. I met your queen, Janelle, John. I just thought of you. Amazing. Johnny Bananas is so funny. He's very verbal. I will say Ek and Sue, I was unprepared for how beautiful she is. I mean, she's beautiful on the show, but I was like, oh my God.
Ek got and that Sue. Love Island beauty.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Ek and Sue, not Ek and Sue. Saw Marcus and Larsa. I talked to them a little bit about what's happening with them. And what else did I want to tell you about that? Peppermint has an amazing dress on. Pilot Pete had a little pin on his lapel. It was a little plain pin. Do you know he is an active pilot for United? I did not realize that. Anyway, it was really fun, I have to say. I really enjoyed it. Kevin.
Are there tears? Is there screaming?
There are tears and there is screaming. Yes.
Okay. And you saw MJ, of course.
Love MJ.
Our Radio Andy family.
Yes. Yes. Love seeing MJ. And the other thing is that I have loved in these last few episodes, because you and I are big Trishelle fans. Yeah. I have loved watching Trishelle.
Me too.
Kind of, we love Trishelle.
She
we
won me back over. Trishelle. For a minute there, I was like, she's too gamey. She's trying too hard to play, and she's not playing a good, like a housewife style game. But then in the end, she ends up being right. She's like, what is y'all's problem? You are not playing. You are not getting right in gear. And I like that spirit that she has.
By the way, Sheree told me she had a full strategy. Sheree. And she had a lot.
These past some two interesting things with her to have say. Been so, when she sat Phaedra down and said, look me in the eye and tell me you're a traitor. That's how you play a game.
Right.
Even your best friend. That's how you do it.
Right. Right.
She really came alive in these last couple
episodes. Yeah, she did.
So people have been giving her shit. You know, she doesn't know what game she's playing, but she absolutely did come alive.
Yes, she did. She really did. And the whole cast Friday night went to Pilot Pete's mom's house. She cooked dinner and had a party for the cast. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's cute.
Oh, well, what's the problem with that? I thought that was down home.
Yeah.
He's like, his mom?
No.
She was like a big character on his season of The Bachelor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, she's a little bit fame.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she like is really trying to be her own social media.
Okay, well, I thought it was cute though that she that they all went. It felt very down home. There was a folksiness. This is what I love. These are really people from. I don't interact with the gamers that much, so it was fun. You know, I was talking to Sandra. And I was like, where are you from? I think she's from North Carolina or South Carolina. She's got a few daughters, I think she told me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the housewives are real people. These are real, real people. You know? By the way, did you know Parvati is a life coach in LA.
She's a yoga teacher and a wellness guru. I follow her now.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I love it. Back with more from this week's Daddy Diaries after this. Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. You know, it's kind of a weird day today, TBH. Mm. I had a really weird thing on the subway this morning. I gotta tell you, like, I jump on the train. I'm listening to Smith Sisters, as one does. I was all smiley and whatever. And I was running. It was that thing where you run down the stairs and you see that there's a train on your track. So you have to run to get into it. It was an A making local stops. It was a very old train. God. No, that was fine. I needed the local stops because I needed to get to 50th Street. Sit down. And this woman across from me is like, turns to this woman that she doesn't know. They're clearly two different people. She's kind of excited to see me, I guess. And she immediately just puts her phone up and starts videoing me sitting there. So now I'm just sitting there. And then this guy who's two over from me goes, oh, look who's slumming it today. Look who's slumming it. Are you slumming it on the train? And I go, no. I go, this is how I get to work. And he goes, oh, you're with the paupers today. You're with the paupers. I go, no. I go, this is how I get to work. This is the quickest way to Midtown every day. I'm always, you know, I'm on the blue line. And then the woman who's videoing me goes, so are you who I think you are? And I said, yeah, I am. She goes, the Bravo guy. I said, yeah. And then she's like, oh, okay, good. And then she like sticks her phone up kind of closer, like as though, well, then I have a right to do this. And I'm sitting there and I was like, and I'm looking to the lady that she was not with, but next to. And the lady that she raised her eyes at me like, oh, sweetie, I'm sorry about this. It was so weird. The lady videoed me for like three stops, and then she goes, I'm tagging you in this. I mean, I should post it. It's kind of, isn't that weird?
Could you say, like, not today, or figure out a way to...
No, I did. I was taking Ben to school today, and he was on my shoulders, and this guy came up and said, oh, my mom loves you. Can I take a picture with you? And I said, well, I just don't think now is the best time. Like, there's a child on my shoulders right now. Oh, this is... Cole Sprouse films people back. I should have filmed the person back. Damn it.
Got to turn the tables on
him. Yes. Oh, that's what his whole website is. Shoot. I should have done that. And then what's the process? Would I DM that photo to
Cole?
He
said he was looking for contributors. Okay, so you got to DM him the photo or the video.
Right. Okay.
Put them on blast.
Yes. I absolutely should have done that. Anyway, it was very weird. And then I said to the guy, like, this is not the greatest moment. And the guy goes, oh, okay, I give up. And I'm like, well, okay. And Ben, what do you think he said? Get lost. I mean, you know, listen, you're setting yourself up for it, girl. Sorry to disappoint you, mom. Oh, my God. Speaking of Ben, I didn't get to talk yesterday. We had such a jammed show. The weather on Sunday was so beautiful. I got in actually from LA on Saturday night at 7. I got home in time to put the kids to bed. Now, my friend Justin, our friend Justin, was having people over for his birthday. He lives 2 blocks away from me, 2 short blocks away. And I could not get a babysitter. And I just wanted to go for an hour. And I couldn't get the nanny who was there with the kids while I was gone to like, just, could you stay just an hour longer? And she was like, and I know she didn't, and she had had such a long 2 days with them. I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, but you don't get home and go to a party. You get home and rest. And
I got home and I put the kids to bed. And then it was Saturday night at 9 p.m. And I really just wanted to skedaddle. And all these friends of mine were texting me from the party being like, just run over here. Just come for half an hour. I go, I don't know how to make this clearer to you that there are 2 children sleeping here. They're like, just come. Like, put the baby monitor on your phone. I'm like, that's not how it works. It's illegal. And you're actually pissing me off. And you're also making me feel sorry for myself that I can't go to this well-curated party where my future husband may be, but I'll never know. Anyway, I was annoyed. Sorry. But like the true friend that he is, John Hickey came over for a nightcap and he turned my entire night around. I was like, I needed a friend tonight. Thank you. You just made my day. And then I woke up on Sunday and it was such a beautiful day in New York City. It was just one of those great spring days. It was in the upper 50s, lower 60s. Ben was like, let's get pancakes. And we went and got pancakes. And then he proceeded to annoy me so much because he refused to put syrup on the pancakes. He's eating them dry. Then he relented and put butter. I'm like, what are you doing? You're just trying to F with me right now. Like, you literally just want to annoy me by doing this. It was so annoying. We then go to the playground where he found a French fry in his pocket from I don't know where. And then he goes, Daddy, I found a French fry in my pocket. I go, give it to me. He goes, I ate it. I go, you didn't. I go, do you think that, when was that from? He goes, I don't know. When did I wear this vest last? I'm like, oh my God, you are going to get so sick. It reminded me of Waka eating just the randoms off the ground. And then, you know, the next day having terrible stomach issues and looking at me. And I'm like, yeah, remember when you ate that string yesterday? That's what's happening to you now. Anyway, so I guess today actually is the day that Ben's poop will be all messed up. So I have something to look forward to today. But you know, John, what a sportsman I am not, right?
Well, you like baseball and stuff.
I like baseball, but I can't play and I'm no good. And so, but we really spent all day outside with the kids. And I ran into my friend Justin, by the way, on Sunday, and he came to the playground. We went to this playground by on the water. There's this great playground on the Hudson River that I always forget to go to, and it's so great, and I just love it so much. And so I went there with the kids, and Justin came, and Jackie came, Ben's godmother. And then I had friends texting me from La Ban, which is the club on top of the Standard. And they're like, where are you? It's unbelievable here because there's an afternoon gay party. I turn around. I see on the roof of the Standard, which is in my sight, just thousands of gay guys up there. And I'm like, oh my God, I am being taunted by gay parties that I cannot go to. That's the lot of my weekend. But what, you know, all good, you know, all good. Anyway, on the way back to the place, it's now getting to be sunset a little bit. And there's another playground that is that has basketball courts and all this stuff. And Ben was on his scooter. He goes, let's go in there. I said, okay. And Lucy wanted to go in there too. And we went in. So then Ben finds a basketball. And there's all these pickup games of basketball happening, which intimidate me. Like, I'm looking at these guys. I'm like, I'm not going to mess with your games, guys. I'm just walking by. Like, I don't... Basketball for me...
I'm so bad at it.
Me too. It is the ultimate eye-hand coordination game. I don't have that good of eye-hand coordination. When I tell you that seventh grade, I played basketball in like a basketball league, it was true. I remember those Saturday mornings going to that gym at White Down Junior High School. I have a pit in my stomach thinking about it. Like, I was so bad. And I think I dropped out kind of mid-season. I was like, I'm not even going to pretend. What am I doing? Is it so important for me to fit in with these idiots that I, not idiots, because I love my guys, Clayton Greyhounds. Anyhow, it was a very bad experience. Ben, though, finds a basketball. And I'm looking at Ben and Lucy, and it's the sun is now setting. The lights are on in this city park. And I'm looking at them running around, and I was like, just marveling. I'm like, I have city kids. My childhood was so different. But I will say this. We stayed out after dark in the neighborhood and ran around playing, you know, kick the can or hide and go seek or, you know, whatever the neighborhood games with the neighborhood kids. And here we were. So Ben found a basketball. So Ben goes, Daddy, let's shoot the ball in the basket. Now, as you know, I had taken him to the Harlem Globetrotters, so he's, you know, basketball. I said, okay. So he goes, you see if you can get the ball in the basket, Daddy. I go, okay. Because I was shooting it from kind of right under the basket, and it was going in every time. And he goes, no, no, that's not where you shoot it. You shoot it from back here. So he takes me to the free throw line. And I was like, okay, Ben, this may take a while. I was like, I started to shoot baskets, and it's not, and I have to say, they were so close, but they were really bouncing. It was, there's something going on with this hoop. I was like, these are supposed to be going in. And every basket that I shot, after I shot it, Ben goes, zero. Zero. So he's now taunting me. And I turn to him. I go, can you not say zero? And he goes, well, that's how many points you get for that shot. Zero.
Right.
He goes, when you get one in, I'll give you a point. Oh my God, this is terrible. So I really, at this point, now there's a pickup game next to us, and I keep shooting. And they're not going in. And Ben is sitting down next to me with his scooter next to him, screaming, zero, zero. When I tell you, I'm going to say after maybe 60 tries, literally, I got one in. And I was like, oh my God, great. We can go home now. He goes, no, get 10 in. He goes, get 10 baskets, Daddy. And I go, I don't think I can do it. I go, I'll get two. And he goes, get 10, Daddy. I took another shot. It went right in. I go, you know what? You got a deal. I will get 10 in. Well, we were there for a long time. And when I tell you, he kept saying, zero, zero. It was these guys at the game next to us took a break. They were sitting down. They were watching. And I said to Ben, you know what, Ben? This is a lesson. I said, what you need to under... I couldn't give up because I told him I was going to get 10. I said, I want you to know, this is going to take me a while. But the lesson here is we don't give up. We keep trying. I said, I'm not good at this. He goes, yeah, but daddy, if you practice, you will get better. And I said, you're right. And you know what? I did get better. It took so long though, but I was arguably better than I was at the beginning. And I got it. I did it. It was so pathetic, but you would have thought that I was freaking Larry Bird by the time this thing was over. And he was so proud of me. And then after I got 10, he goes, now get 20. I go, no, we are done. And he did have a fit that he wanted to change the goalpost. And I was like, no, we're going home. Lucy had had it. I mean, it was now dark out. Like, it was truly dark out. But I feel like I taught him a lesson, and I felt very, very, I felt very accomplished, I have to say. I really did. Could you shoot 10 baskets, John?
No, I mean, the only basket I ever made in middle school was in the wrong team's basket. And I got so excited, and I looked at my parents, and they were looking at the ground. Not only did I mess up, but it was humiliating because you're already embarrassed being on the court and playing bad, but it was very humiliating. I don't have that skill. I'm not a good thrower. And no, it's hard.
And was that a day that you remember? Like, was that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I'm there right
now. Wow. And both of your parents were there. Because, you know, I banned my parents from going to my little league baseball games. And my dad used to want to coach. And I was like, Dad, no, you can't coach. Please don't coach. Like, no. And then our last game of Optimus Baseball. I know I've told this story here before. Do you remember this story? The last game of Optimus Baseball. It was my sixth grade, and I was never going to do it again. I was like, I have done this for 6 years. I am done. I was the last person at bat. We were down by one. The bases were loaded, two outs. I got up and struck out. And we would all, after the game, go to Dairy Queen to get ice cream. And I was in the car with my friend Tim Medley. And his mother was driving us, and we got in the car, and she said, so you lost the game for everybody, Andy. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I know. And then I will never forget getting home that day from Dairy Queen. And I got home, and I opened the door, and my mom's like, Andy, is that you? And I didn't respond because I was so upset. And she goes, Andy? And I didn't respond. And she kind of ran to the front. And she looked at me. And she saw my face. And she goes, was it that bad? And I go, yeah. She gave me the biggest hug. And I was crying. And I'm crying right now thinking of it. Like, I am still hurt from that. I mean, it just doesn't go away. But she was so sweet about it, you know? It was terrible. That fucking mom of Tim Medley making me feel worse. Anyway, that's my sports story.
You made me cry, Andy.
I will say, you know, it, but that's also why, and I was taking Ben to school today, and I go, you know what my favorite part of the weekend was? And he said, what? And I said, shooting baskets with you and playing catch. Because first we were playing catch with the basketball, and I was teaching him how to play catch. And I was like, oh my God, this is so great. Like, I love doing this with him. I was like, this is opening a window to what this playground could be and what it could mean for Ben and I. Like, I could actually come and try to play basketball with him until he finds someone who can actually play. But it made me feel like it just made me feel like a dad in the best way. You know what I mean? It was very sweet. And I said to him today, should I get us a basketball so we could come try to shoot baskets? He goes, yeah, daddy. He goes, you can practice some more. I go, I know. Wednesday, March 6, 2024. I was walking Ben to school today, and he said to me, you're going to die before me.
But he's right.
But I don't want to die. And I thought to myself, how do I respond to this? And I said, okay. Kept it moving. Anyhow, I have to say, I don't know if I've said this before, but we entered positive reinforcement into our house.
Oh, that's a smart idea. I've heard that works well.
That I have not been giving this kid much of any positive reinforcement. And when I tell you that it has made a world of difference.
Tell me more.
A universe of difference.
What do you give him positive reinforcement on?
Anything he does right.
Okay.
Literally.
I'm taking notes.
Jordan, okay. Anything. Wow, you made it. That was a really good choice you made. Before, by the way, I feel like I'm just building him from the ground up at this point. Before school, he goes, Daddy, can I have one chip out of that container? And I said, you know what, Ben? I am so happy that you asked before taking that I'm going to give you the chip. Thank you for asking me for the chip. So anything I can think of to positively reinforce, I do. And let me tell you something. He wants to be a good boy. He wants so badly to be a good boy, and he is a good boy. So anyway, try it. I will text you, Jordan. My friend Graciela texted me positive things you can say to your kid every day.
Oh, great.
Just a list. You can pick from it. But I'll tell you something. I would be so interested. Check back in with me in a week.
Okay.
And tell me if you notice anything.
Okay, yeah.
It's a game changer for me. I had Lala on Watch What Happens Live last night. You know what I think about Lala?
She unhinged?
No. I think I love Lala. I love Lala.
Well, you can
Lala.
Love an unhinged person.
Well,
I love
No, but
Lala
I don't find her to be unhinged. I think, and I love it that she took it upon herself to, she said, I want to have another kid, and then she did it. I mean, I love her. I think she's great.
I love her too.
I think she's, I think she's really great. You know who's getting acknowledged for all the wrong reasons?
Who?
Jonathan Van Ness.
Oh, I know. What's going on? Well, no one is safe in this world.
I will tell you this. This is what I think. Okay, so Rolling Stone in the last 6 months.
I'm surprised, but...
Well, Rolling Stone in the last 6 months has gone after Kelly Clarkson. Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
And now Jonathan Van Ness.
They're a monster at work.
And
everyone can be a monster at work if you say
Thank you.
It in the right
and
way.
You know what? You do a daily show,
asshole.
Shit happens. So now the Jonathan Van Ness, he's so mean to people. He's mean.
They're so mean.
They're
Please,
so mean
you.
To people. They're so mean.
Thank you.
I gotta tell you something. Rolling Stone. Cover Music. Why don't you cut? Isn't it a music magazine? Or is it a takedown TV stars? Listen, I'm sure I'm next. I'm tempting the, you know, it's open season right now. So I'm sure I'm poking the bear. But yeah, okay, let me go out. Jordan, am I cranky when I come in sometimes?
Just wait until my comments.
Yeah,
right. I'm kidding.
No, sometimes when I, no.
You can be cranky and short, but
right.
I don't think you've never been outwardly heinous to me.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is maybe I was to someone one day. It's like, okay, Rolling Stone, you keep thinking, you know, I just can't get over, you know, I saw Jonathan Van Ness, he screams at people once a week. They scream at people.
They scream at people.
They scream at... I'm sorry. It's hard to remember everybody's, you know... I'm sorry. I do my best. By the way, I'm trying to defend them. So maybe, you know, they will... Maybe they'll be okay with me occasionally, you know, getting it wrong. Because I am just trying to say, everybody has a bad day. It's high pressure.
Well, who's reading Rolling Stone? It's not like high school kids are sitting at home smoking joints and listening to Fleetwood Mac and reading about Rolling Stone
right.
magazines. It's like, is it like, I don't know who it's, I mean, it's not that detrimental probably. It's like, yeah, I'm not afraid. I think Kelly Clarkson's going to be fine. I think Jimmy Fallon's going to be fine, you know?
Yeah, it's
what
just...
What are the allegations? So the allegations were...
I didn't read it. I just saw a couple... He's really... They're really mean. They've been really mean a few times.
Oh. Yeah, well, yeah.
So
I don't know.
I don't know what to say, you know? I don't know what to say. Anyhow, there you go.
They've always seemed kind of mean to me. I don't know. I think there might be something to it. Maybe I'll go read that article real quick.
Yeah, really? Yeah, let me know what it says.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely afraid of them.
Of them.
I said, It just, I deleted the TH.
You can't say,
Yeah, can.
So, by the way, I am posting on my Instagram story the positive things you can say to your kid. Okay, I just posted it. Screenshot it and check that out.
Isn't this like a very famous tactic? Why I love you just now discovering that positive reinforcement is a good thing.
Like,
this is literally the way to raise a kid.
Okay, well, guess
like
what,
the basics,
girl?
Right?
Jordan, it was news to Jordan. It was the first
Y'all
time.
Y'all are both heinous. Y'all are both monsters.
It was the first time she's piped up about something that I've said parent-wise. So, right, Jordan?
Well, I was very interested. Positive reinforcement, you do it. But as a parent, when you are exhausted by
right,
the
you
incessant nonsense, it's,
right? Yes,
you
I
do
love
forget
it.
You're like, because you then do you're forget. More you're more likely to be like, "Can you stop doing that? Stop doing that. That is really annoying."
Yeah.
Right.
It's nice
yeah, yeah.
to be
no,
reminded to take a break and do the
I just
positive as well.
5 years in, Andy's like, "Oh, you're not going to believe this insane technique I heard of."
Listen, you hang
you
out
what,
with toddlers
girl?
For yeah. 2 years, and you will be singing a different song.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not positive to them. I wouldn't want to be around them. It would be so hard to compliment a little monstrosity. Great job.
All right. You've been especially surly this week. Are you good?
I'm very good. I'm not surly. I'm enjoying the moment.
Okay. Thursday, March 7th, 2024. For some
You're
reason,
looking kind of 90s right now.
Well, first they told me to dress 90s today. Now, by the way, it's a radio show, so I don't really get
yeah, it puts
why
you
I'm,
in the character.
I guess it does, but I happen to have this Camp High kind of suit that looks very Saved by the Bell or 90s. I wear it. I drop Ben off at school. And I am walking to the subway, and Lucy's nanny calls and says, "Are you aware that you're supposed to be at Lucy's school right now? It's parents' morning at Lucy's school."
Deadbeat
like,
dad.
What? So I run over there, and I am wearing a ridiculous outfit, you guys. We will post. We'll post it on the Radio Andy Instagram. I look like such a fool, okay? And I go in there, and I'm like, and by the way, the parents thing, it was just like playing with your kids with the other parents, and I'm sitting on the floor. I'm like, oh my God, nobody, you know. And then, by the way, because I don't really know the other parents in Lucy's class, this dad walks in. John, he looked chiseled out of I don't know what. And I was like, oh, Jesus, look at me. I look like such a fool. Anyway, so that was kind of embarrassing. And he wanted less than nothing to do with me. I mean, like, didn't even really want to say hello. So there you go. That's all for this week's edition of Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. For more of our 90s show, check out the SiriusXM app. We'll see you right back here with more Daddy Diaries next week.
Radio Andy, always unpredictable. A SiriusXM podcast.